Anything with the Hamish Ashcroft has never felt that way. They're like cookies. They don't make Hamish Ashcroft cookies that are fell over ever. Okay. Oh, last week we were. It's a whole. What a difference a week makes. Last Tuesday night we were sitting here waiting on the election returns. I heard a good. Story this morning. In the old days in America, when you're still a Yidden who didn't know that they lived in America. Because they came from Europe, and they lived on the Lower East Side, and they only spoke Yiddish, they didn't learn English, they only hung out with Frommer Yidden. So they didn't know. So there was this Yid who, I don't know, the morning maybe he was a shoemaker, in the afternoon he sat in the Beis Medrash and, you know, was part of the Chevrat Tehillim or something. So the morning after the election, you know, he's running around in the street with his talis and tefillin in his hand. And he's asking everybody, who was elected? Right? Was it FDR? Was it Wendell Willkie? Who won? So I said to him, Yankiv, what's going on? Like, you don't even know you live in America. Suddenly you need to know who's the president? So I said, listen, every morning I bench Shalom Sonny Goy. When I say Shalom Sonny Goy, which kind of goy do you think I'm talking about? You think I'm talking about the treif butcher or the truck driver? I think about the most choshev goy there is. So I'm on my way to shul. I need to know who I'm benching on.
You heard about the, you know, because of all the protests, you know, not our president. There was a follow-up. People were protesting in Cleveland. There are Cleveland Indians fans across the whole country were protesting.
Look, Cleveland, they've
not our World Series champions. They do not accept the results of the World Series.
It's rigged. It was rigged.
Even though Cubs won 4 games and the Indians won 3, and they knew that those were the rules going in.
Extra innings.
Both teams scored 27 runs throughout the series, and.
The popular vote, it should have been a tie. In the popular vote, it was a tie.
It's actually, I guess it's from once when we went to 2012, the same, it's not a new idea. And it says, it's true, but it actually shows why the World Series and Electric College are actually...
It's true, it could be the opposite. It could be the losing team in the series scored 100 runs.
Right.
And the winning team in the series scored 4 runs. And
But to show why, you know, the goals of the two are different. It's a cute thing, but actually it's kind of missing the point where the World Series you want to have a certain goal, whereas elections you are hoping to achieve something different.
Okay, but you got a system. If you don't like it, change it. Don't whine about it afterwards. Meaning, yeah, you can't go out in the street and protest that we don't accept.
I'm gonna have to delete all this from the recording, which takes me more time. So let's start learning the Gemara. We're about 9 lines down on Ayin's.
Give me some more bourbon to get
what?
Interesting.
You only have actual 47 minutes. No, on the shear, last week's shear was 47 minutes.
Oh, because you didn't hear all the stuff I cut out.
Right. I missed that.
All the good stuff.
Forward to it.
About 9 lines down. Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Amud Beis. The Gemara says, and it's not clear if and how this connects to the previous part of the Gemara, Omer le Rav Rav Nachman, Chazi Mar Hai Marabonon. Rashi's Girsis. The Ran's Girsis. Tzurba Marabonon. Look at those Bnei Torah. Look at those rabbis. The Ata Mimarava. Where is the Marava? Eretz Yisrael. They come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. VaOmar is Dakeku le Rabonon le Barei de Rav Huna. Bar Avin Visharule Nidre. These guys that came, they told us a story of how they were doing Hataras Nadarim there. How they had done Hataras Nadarim Izdakiku is like a metaphor for having done Hataras Nadarim. For the son of Rav Huna Bar Avin, and they were Matir the Neder. Va'amrule Zeal u'bo'ei rachmei al nafshecho. What does that mean? Zeal u'bo'erach. These are all words that I've emphasized over and over again throughout the years.
Zeal.
Go.
Boy.
And ask. And ask. Rachamim on your soul. Mm-hmm. You remember that boy means to ask.
To inquire, to require, to desire.
Titkabel tzla'oton uva'oton. Why do you have to, having been matir the neder, why do you have to ask for rachamim? De chatata, because you have sinned. What's his sin? That he made a neder. De tane rav dimi, achua de rav safra, kol hanoder, afal pishu mikaimo, nikra chote. You shouldn't make nedarim. And the very act of making a neder is a chet. Yeah, you think so? Shadoka mashmo? How could that be?
You're taking yisur on yourself, you wouldn't command it to take, doing something that you're allowed to do, some benefit that you're allowed to have, maybe deciding to have it. Or the, yeah.
I mean, you think he literally means that making a neder is a chet?
No, it's an undesirable thing to do.
Yeah, it's probably, oh, he's probably speaking here b'lashon guzma. How do you, what's the best proof to say that it's not a chet?
It doesn't tell us not to.
Adarama. The Torah tells us that there is such a thing as nedarim.
Right.
And it tells you the name. Now, it's true. It's also to violate your neder having had made it. But even setting up, so according to Rav Dimi, Achuad Rav Safra, even making a neder is a chet. Now I presume he's not speaking literally because the Torah commands it. But yet, nevertheless, there are all types of mitzvot in the Torah, which, even though it's a mitzvah, somehow it's undesirable.
Isn't there I don't recall exactly, but isn't there like a pasuk in Kohelet talking about better to not have
So that's obvious. It's better not to make a neder than to make a neder and break it.
Right.
Barur. But even making a neder and being mekayim it, you shouldn't.
Right, but it's saying better to not make a neder. It doesn't say better to have, you know, not eaten kosher food than to eat kosher food and actually messed it up. It's something that there's a negative connotation in that pasuk. It's not like a great thing to do. It's not like a wonderful thing to do. You happen to have not done. It didn't follow through.
So you see, Chazal had this, and I mentioned this in the past. Chazal had this ambivalence against the. I mean, there are other examples of this as well. So Nazir is perfect. Nazir is a perfect example. Because you have to bring what kind of korban? A chatat, which implies that there's something not exactly right about this. And if you read what the Rambam had to say about Naziris, you can see that he had a very negative attitude. The Torah allows for this, but there are all types of mitzvot. Mitzvot don't mean. Now, how are mitzvot? What's the most common mistranslation of the word mitzvot?
Commandments. A good deed.
No, good deeds. Right. Commandments probably quite literal.
Right.
Well, in the sense that you're in sense of obligation.
Right.
There's no obligation to.
In other words, there are obligations that are extant. Every morning you have an obligation to put on tefillin.
You don't have an obligation to divorce your wife.
But you don't have an obligation to divorce your wife. But if you want to divorce your wife, so then there's a certain mitzvot that regulate how that should take place.
No, because some people might assume, I mean, often people say, I kept all tayag mitzvot. I hope I didn't keep all tayag mitzvot. That's not something I want to do.
I have no interest in carrying out the death penalty, but there are a variety of mitzvot involved in the death penalty. Right? I once had Karl Bach, so, you know, Karl Bach here, it said also coming up. I think it's coming up. I think it's next week. But Sir Karl Bach say, "Yeah, Gevalt, everybody wants to do Tariag Mitzvahs." He says, "I thought I'd never get to do the Tariag Mitzvahs. And my holy ex-wife, she helped me do another mitzvah." But he meant it. He wasn't being funny. He meant it. So my holy ex-wife. So he said it's a true story. So it's true, but that's once you come into a certain circumstance, so there are mitzvah that regulate it. But that doesn't mean that anybody should desire to enter that scenario.
Nazirut is a negative thing because not because you're taking a neder, but because of the Nazirut itself.
In the Torah itself, there's no moral judgment involved, aside from the implication that at the end of the Nazirut, if you have to bring a chatat, right. So that obviously seems to imply that there's something negative about this. All of the Meforshim spell it out. The Rambam in particular spells out. The Rambam had the most severe anti-ascetic critique in the Jewish tradition. The Rambam thought, you know, the Rambam was the great moderate, middle of the way. And he thought that anything in excess is bad, and that Nazirut, while the Torah recognizes its need that some people might have to channel certain spiritual energies, is inherently a bad thing, because the Jewish worldview does not embrace asceticism, meaning laying aside the pleasures of this world. The Torah's view of the world is not to abstain from pleasure, but to moderate our consumption of pleasure. That that we have a healthy attitude towards all the pleasures of the flesh. We are, in fact, physical beings, right? We reject the Christian worldview that there's something inherently sinful in our physical desires, right? But yet, that doesn't mean that it's
in today's perspective, as Rambam would probably be considered fairly
ascetic.
Certainly compared. No, in his writings about the pleasure that we would see, even not a hedonist. I'm talking about an everyday person of our life. We probably consider him to be a bit extreme.
Okay, it could be that he would have, if the Rambam were alive today. How many sins? If the Rambam were alive today, maybe we'd have a different view of what moderation is something that is, relative to certain norms in society. And maybe he would have moderated his views on moderation. But he was still clearly a moderate. Right? In the days when people owned, you know, a few pairs of clothing and lived in modest means and ate certain foods and etc. So being moderate was one thing. I mean, think about even when I was a kid, I had friends, you know, in the religious community, who were quite wealthy, but they lived a relatively moderate, their families lived a relatively modest lifestyle compared to the way some rich Jews live today. Right?
And I ever lived in a house that wasn't that much different than your house.
It was bigger than my house, and they had, but it was, yeah, but it was a certain, and it wasn't just a matter of,
business class to the Virgin Islands.
Right, it wasn't a matter of, his parents always flew, until they became old, his parents always flew coach. His father thought it was, crass to fly business or first class, and they were big balei tzedakah, whatever it was. But there was a certain sense. So moderation is all in the eyes of the beholder. Anyway, we've gotten off track.
Remind me to tell you later about drinking to moderation.
Yes. So Rav Safra, so Rav Dimi says Kol Hanoder Afa Pishu Hu Mekayme. Mikaimo, even if he keeps the neder, obviously if he breaks the neder, the Torah makes it clear it's usur. But the very act of making a neder is usur. Nikra chote, Omar Rav Zvid, Maikra, v'chi tachdol indor, lo yer b'chachet. You got to be in it to win it, or in this case, you got to be in it to lose it. If you don't make a neder, what's the chance you're going to violate a neder?
What's the context of this pasuk? It's not in Matot.
It's in.
So you're deferring Chav Gimel Sefer Kitetz.
Yeah. That's if you don't make a neder, what's the chance you're going to violate a neder? Zero. Right. So. So obviously that implies that you should be careful about making a darn. Ha lo chadalta ikachet. And if you don't refrain from making an eder, meaning if you do make an eder, so that implies there's a chet. If you don't make an eder, you'll never sin. If you don't make an eder, there's no sin. Meaning, if you don't make an eder, there's no chance you're going to violate it. So that the kind of midrashic reading of that pasuk, what's the literal meaning of that pasuk? If you don't make an eder, there's no chance you're going to sin. If you do make an eder, maybe you'll be mekayim it, maybe you won't be mekayim it. If you don't mekayim the neder, then it's a sin. But the midrashic reading of the neder is, if you don't make a neder, if you don't make a neder, there's no sin. If you do make a neder, then it's a sin. Parentheses, regardless of whether or not you keep it.
This is if you want
to read. Right, well, it's in here. Bekik techtol lindor lo ye bechachet. Motzi svatecha tishmor vasita kasher nadarta Hashem elokecha. What program is this?
It's someone called Mike Tanakh or something like that.
So the Gemara wants to know, what is the meaning of this passage? Is this just an independent statement? I said the Gemara wants to know. The Rishonim want to know, is this just an independent passage?
Or does it reflect on the previous
sugya? What was the previous sugya? The previous sugya was about... About betin or not betin, and that hatarat nedarim is not a maaseh betin, right? And therefore, it can be done on Shabbat, it can be done on it can be done standing, it can be done at nighttime, it can be done with groven. But in Eretz Yisrael, they were machmir. What did he do? What did Rabbi Gamliel do? He sat down. Why did he sit down? We just learned you don't have to sit down because it's not a din, and in a din the dayanim always sit. But he said, why did he sit down? Because he made a big deal out of the neder. Because he required charota. He had to lead the shoel, the guy asking for atarat nedarim, through this whole process of admitting his regret and coming to the regret and etc.
Or depending on the gersa of Gemara, you pointed out, either charota wasn't enough and he required the next step. There were two ways.
Right.
There was an in, either
right.
The in
right.
Was in or the in was out.
But let's assume we're talking about a Gemara that means that we require the charota. So Rashi, or the pseudo Rashi here, says this Gemara is an extension. Because these guys that come from Eretz Yisrael and tell this story about how do you darshan the posuk about what was the point of the charot? What is the point of telling them you want a taras nedarim? You better ask rachamim on yourself. That is a petach to charota. Right? In other words, if you say the very act of making the neder is a sin, and here you are, you're asking to get out of it because obviously you know that you can't do it. You can't. Be held to your promise.
What?
So that is the petach to charot. So that's Rashi connects this section to the previous one because this is a demonstration of the inherent charota that every neder carries, because every neder is flawed.
But I still have the hard time understanding that, because anybody who wants to be to get a Torah is not of his neder, it's because he had parata and having a neder to begin with.
No.
Why else?
Well,
I made a neder that I'm never going to eat chocolate again, pasta chocolate. And
yeah, so
and now the next day I have this real yearning for chocolate and I regret that I made.
Yeah, so not every inconvenience is a charata.
No. Well, it depends. I understand what I said. In other words, the inconvenience is the charata, but you feel charata over the inconvenience.
I make a neder, and this neder causes a hassle for my wife. I say I'm never going to eat chalavi. This means my wife's repertoire of what she makes for dinner every night has now been disrupted. She can't think of, par of meals to cook every night. She doesn't want me eating all that meat. So it's like a big hassle for her. I don't regret the neder, but it's created a hassle in my life. That's not called charata. That means I have a reason to try to get out of this neder.
So where is
but the, I don't...
So where is the charata?
So here, in other words, if Rashi's reading of the Gemara now is correct, The charata itself is built into every neder.
I made a neder because charata I regret. I made a neder because I regret that I eat challah. I have a regret.
No. I regret. No, in the case that I gave. No, so there's no. Where's the charata? Like in and of itself, like you shouldn't be released from your neder. Unless the charata, you say every neder comes with an ounce of charata, because you shouldn't take nedarim in the first place.
Right.
No, there's in some ways charata is. In some ways, a neder. Think of another. What's another example? We mentioned nazir. We mentioned gittin. We mentioned nazir as an example of a mitzvah where, at least according to the reading of many of the Rishonim, and particularly the Rambam, the mitzvah exists, but nobody should want to do it. That it's an inherently problematic circumstance. What's another... What? No, see, sota is different. Sota is an action having been taken. As a woman shouldn't be mazana, a husband shouldn't be choshed his wife. But once that reality presents itself, so then there's a procedure for how to conduct it. Ben sora more, right? Nobody wants a ben sora more, but if your kid Rachmanis turns out that way, so there's a procedure for how to deal with it. Even though Chazal, like, you know, use their hermeneutical magical wands to try to create a situation where this couldn't actually come to pass. So but what's another example?
Example
of a mitzvah that is a mitzvah that regulates it. Again, you wouldn't call it a good deed, but there's a procedure, a ritual procedure commanded by the Torah. Eish Yifat Torah. Excellent, right? Eish Yifat Torah. Who? You ever went to yeshiva and the Rebbe said, "Oi, there's a mitzvah Eish Yifat Torah, gei gesundheit." Right? Oh, did you hear this guy was Makayim Eish Yifat Torah? Let's make him Chosn Torah. Right?
No. Places in today, I imagine, they probably heard.
But somebody would be Makayim Eish Yifat Torah. You find that in warfare, you find a beautiful captive girl and you desire her. So the Torah prescribes how you take her captive and make her your wife. You know, certainly by modern standards, but presumably even in the ancient world, this major tzaddik, this people looked at you and said, "Oh, Gevalt, what a tzaddik!" Right? You know that he took
you human.
But in other words, it would probably be a mark of righteousness to not get involved with that. But recognizing, as Rashi says, that there's people of Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah itself has to be regulated. So this is the law in this circumstance. But it would be better if you didn't get involved with it at all. Right? It's not a mark of a holy person to desire to fulfill this mitzvah. It would be better not to be involved with it at all.
Well, he didn't really want her as a wife, but he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah, so...
Yeah, right, that's precisely. The other Mefarshim, so Rashi connects this to the previous sugya. The other Mefarshim say they don't make this connection. So what is this whole story doing here? The whole story doing here is to show how machmir they were in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Bavel with Nedarim. Right? You came to be Matir and Neder and they really clapped Musar on you. That you shouldn't do this. The Gemara goes on. Ha'omer li'ishto, kol nedarim shetaduri, e ifshi shetaduri. Any neder that you made, that you will make, e ifshi, eini rotze. I don't want. Or if you say, "Ein ze neder, lo amar klum." Now we've seen this line before. Earlier, the Gemara quoted these lines. She makes a neder. He wants to be mefir the neder. He wants to cancel the neder. Instead of saying mufar lach, in other words, the Rambam says, "What does he say? He says mufar lach, mufar lach, mufar lach." That's the proper way to to be made for your wife's nether. But he doesn't do that. But he expresses his disinterest in the nether. So if she makes a nether and he says, e if she. Lo rotze. Lo amar klum. If he says, she says a nether, he says, eino nether. It's not a nether. Lo amar klum. Why?
He didn't actually use the right language.
Because right? So what's wrong with that language? Ain't no there.
He didn't use the lashon hafara.
Hafara. Right.
He didn't say I'm a fear.
But it's also, but it's obviously it's clear what his intention is.
But there's a lot of things you have to be. You have to be.
It's not clear what his intention is. She makes a neder. He goes, nah, it's not a neder. You can mean that's not a neder. What are you doing? Like, that's not a proper neder. You know. Go learn the halacha to make a proper net if you want to make a proper net, because that's not, or you could say that's not a net because I disagree.
Right.
You don't know.
It has to be a net for it to be a metaphor.
Right. In other words, it is, if he says.
No, but she hasn't made the
net. No, well, the Gemara discussed that 2-3 weeks ago. Can he make a preemptive net there? We learned that sugya. But here the point is, if he says, Eino net there, it's factually not true. It is a net there. Right? Calling, saying the sky is green instead of blue does not make it so. Right? To say if she is not a statement of canceling the neder. Right? She makes a neder, and he's not mefir. He doesn't exercise his veto rights. The next day it's a neder, and he says if she. Who cares? Who cares what you want? Right, but in other words, it's not done in the lashon of neder.
What if you say zelo neder because it's not a proper neder?
Yes, if it's not a proper neder, there's nothing to talk about.
But she thinks it's a proper neder.
But that's not the case we're talking about. It's if she thinks she's taken a neder when in fact she has not fulfilled whatever the requirements of making a neder are. So, in fact, there's no neder to talk about. He doesn't have to be made for anything because she didn't actually take a neder. Right?
Okay.
So, if she says, if she holds up this box and says, I make a neder, I'm not going to eat any of the apples in this box. For those listening online, I'm holding up a box of cookies. Is that a neder?
No.
Why?
Because there's no apples.
Because it's factually untrue. It's just... You know, like, it's like a nonsense question, right? Is a banana more long or is it more yellow? It's a nonsense question, right? So if she holds up this box of cookies and says, I take a neder, I will not eat any of these apples in my hand, she's not making a neder because there are no apples in her hand. So if he says, Eino neder, he's correct, meaning he's telling her, honey, you're making a mistake. Right? But that is not a matter for the halakha, because she didn't, but here she makes a neder, and he wants to be made for the neder, and he says, "Eino neder." What does he mean? He means, he's mevat, he's made for it, he's rubbing it out, he's erasing it. Elama, it does not fulfill, does not rise to the
requirements
of hafarat nedarim. But if, however, in the case of Hakamat haneder, he says, what's the hakama? He says, Hare ani mekim. Puts the rubber stamp on it. But if he says, yafe asit, well done. Ein kimotech, you're the best, none like you. Im lo nadart madirech ani. Had you not taken that neder, I would have made you take that neder. All of these affirmations, Dvarav Kayamin. What has a higher
bar?
Hafara or Hakama? Hafara? Yeah. Hakama, we let him off with all these loosey-goosey phrases.
Well, it's also because he can do a pocket ekama, so it's not really, if he doesn't do it until, like, okay, if he let's say he thinks it is. Right. If he thinks it is, he walks away, he says, yeah, fair seat, leaves the day, it's done anyway, whether he
right.
or not. So it's not like
exactly. Exactly. There's no stuff. And it's, even if saying these kinds of generic affirmations are not technically the language of Hakama, but it's clear that he
agrees.
Agrees.
Yeah.
And even if he'd said nothing in 3 hours at sunset, Mela, it's.
Kind of, the Havamina would be if he says, Yafa seat, and then the afterwards he says,
Mela. Can he cancel it? Yeah, right.
Can he
so
cancel
we say,
it?
So we say that these expressions are sufficient expressions of his
approval.
Of his approval. That it works.
But, you know, it doesn't seem to me that it's only making a case that there's a higher bar for Hakama, but because...
there's a higher bar for Hafara.
Well, all right, but, okay, so that's what the high bar for Hafara said. Because the language, the logic of the language in Hafara is very different than the language used in Hakama. In the Hafara, he said... Ain's a neder, but that's factually incorrect.
Right. But what about the e if she? E if she, I don't want it.
I don't know, she, I guess, but ain's a neder doesn't really do anything.
Well, you can say, I say ain's a neder can be compared to imlona dart, because she did.
See, I would agree that that's also, that doesn't mean
anything. So probably, a little bit parallel.
Okay. Efeasit is a very strong hakama. What could be a more stronger hakama? Ani makim.
Well, you could say. I mean, yeah, I can give you a
you don't really need to do a hakama. I mean,
you could say efeasit wouldn't be. I mean, we don't say it, but you could say efeasit that you decided you're not going to eat, a bar of chocolate every day. But also that I think it's not a good idea to. You made it.
Better late than never.
You could say that it was a good idea, but I sort of want to get the net.
At least have a cookie.
It's Ben's birthday.
Ben's birthday. It just came from my mother's 90th birthday party.
Mazal tov. So you really need a drink.
Okay.
So look at Rashi. Rashi has a different girsa here. He even expands it, like two thirds of the way down of the Rashi. Ve'im ba'lekaimo ve'amar la yafeh asit shenadart. Ve'ein kemotech isha chashuva lefi shenadart ve'ein kemotech isha chashuva lefi shenadart ve'im lo nadart ani hayiti madirech shekol kach yashar b'enai dvarav kayamin de'ein lecha kiyum gadol mizeh. Right? That the requirements of the Lashon Hakama are looser than the requirements of the Lashon Hafara. Because after all, even though, and we're going to come back to this momentarily, or at least next week, remember there's this hekesh between Hakama and Hafara. From where? What's the source for the hekesh of Hakama and Hafara?
Isha
Yikimena, Isha Yifarina. Right? That the requirements are somehow parallel, but they're not identical. And after all, the action of Hafara is a lot different than the action of Hakama. She takes a neder. From when does the neder exist?
When she takes it.
From the moment she takes it. And she's obligated in the moment she takes it, regardless of what the husband's going to do. Even the husband has rights. But she's obligated in that neder from the time it comes out of her mouth, even before her husband hears about it. He can either be making, actively or passively, what we've called the pocket hakama, or he can be mefir. To be mekim, actively or passively, is in all cases a passive act. Because the neder existed before, and the neder continues.
He's not doing it, just saying fine, it's okay. Whatever right. This condition now exists, okay.
Right.
And he's doing what he's making, so he's just cutting off his right.
He's right, exactly. He's bypass. He's laying down his rights, but to be mefer is a very aggressive act against this poor neder that's standing there. So obviously the act of tearing down a neder is going to have a higher requirement. I mean, think about it this way. I'm thinking about this because I was recently doing this. You remember when your kid is on that, the what do you call it, the merry-go-round, the you know, the thing, the spinny thing that goes around until they're ready to throw up? So what do they keep saying? So you know, it's going, and you're adding more. You know, every time it goes around, you give it a twirl. But at a certain point, it's going so fast that you can't even grab onto. You know, like you're just not gonna. Your hand is like running over the railing as it's going along, and you're adding a little more. Not entropy.
Centrifugal,
right? But when they say, "I'm going to throw up," stop. You have to grab it, and it like almost pulls the arm out of your socket as you're trying to stop.
All of us were such enthusiastic merry-go-round spinners as you.
Oh, I totally was.
I still have young children. You have grandchildren. So the amount of energy that you have to exercise to stop the merry-go-round is much greater than what's required to keep something in motion once it's already going. So the hafara, we're going to be makpid that it has to conform to a certain formula, but the hakama, any kind of green light that he does seems to be okay.
Like stopping a jet.
Okay. The Gemara goes on. We're going to start this, but we're not going to be able to finish it. We'll be left with more questions than we can tolerate, but you'll somehow survive till next week. Maybe it will tempt you to learn ahead. What are the chances? Lo ye'amar adam li'ishto b'shabbat mufar lechi, batel lechi, kederech she'omer la b'chol. Now remember, we learned you're allowed to do hafarat nedarim on Shabbat. That was a sugya we learned. You're allowed to do it. But when you do hafarat nedarim on Shabbat, it can't be done in a regular weekday manner. It has to be done with the shinui. You can't say mufar lechi, it is mufar to you, or batel lechi, the different languages of hafara, in the same way that you do it during the week. Ela omer la tli vachli, tli vishti. She takes a neder. She's not drinking anymore, Gentleman Jack. It's not a lady's drink. The people on the recording, I don't think we're all a bunch of shikers. So she says, you play the part of the wife.
You say,
I take a neder, I'm never going to drink this stuff anymore. And I, your husband, say, drink it, honey.
I'll help you with that cough drink.
That act of forcing your will on her constitutes a hafarat nedarim.
But we said that it didn't have to be specifically something on Shabbat. You gave the example of she says in Shabbat she's not going to go to her course or whatever.
It's true. It's true. But in this example of things that are like food related, let's say.
No, we're saying anyway. You're
okay,
saying
so there will be examples of things where he can't literally force it down her throat on Shabbat.
Even if she doesn't drink the mere fact that he says drink it,
yeah,
that's
fair.
Not for us. She doesn't mean she has to drink
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
So if she says, I'm not going to go to my, whatever you had, I don't know the example you gave, the course, whatever it was.
I'm not going to go to Mahjong.
You're saying, you will go to Mahjong.
Okay, you're going to Mahjong, right? Alice, to the moon in Mahjong, right? So that's a hafara. But here, if she says, I'm never going to drink this, and he very deliberately pours it for her and says, drink it, bottoms up, that itself is a hafarat nedarim. Because he's showing his disapproval of the neder. He's showing his disapproval.
He's actively doing something to her.
Right. Have a neder batel me'elav. And the neder is ipso facto canceled. Amar B'Yochanan. So why can't on Shabbat? Why can't you say Mufar Lechi?
On Shabbos.
I guess it's not Shabbos Dick. How is it not Shabbos Dick?
Maybe it's a scary idea of Dean, of like a waiting sort of thing.
Probably not Shabbos Dick because the majority of the Nedarim that you would take, at least 20 to my mind, you can say the Nedarim you would take, the majority of them deal with things that don't deal with Shabbos. Like, I'm not going to cook fish anymore. I'm not
going to. A lot of examples of the nedarim that are given are all are very food related, diet related. I won't eat this. I won't drink that. Right. So here the example. I mean, the example in the Gemara here is lahachi nakad hachi mishum dehave dvarim sheish bohem inui nefesh. Right. Not to drink whiskey is inui nefesh. This is you should. This is a line you should put on a T-shirt.
Absolutely.
Right. It's inui nefesh. It's oppressive not to drink whiskey, and it will interfere with your onik Shabbos. So he doesn't want her onik Shabbat to be interfered with. But it's true there would be other examples if she takes a neder on Shabbat, and he's got until he goes to shul for Mariv, the clock is ticking to exercise his hafara rights. Even if the neder is for something that's for later in the week, it would be a different example. But in this case, the whiskey is tzorche Shabbat ninu. It is for the purpose of... Did you get the email I sent you?
Yes. I did not read through the whole thing yet, but I skimmed it.
So now the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi
Yochanan... I assume that the bottom line is that it's matur and it's not a problem, and if you want to use a shot glass, that's also okay.
No, it's exactly what I've been telling you for years.
I'm just kidding.
There was an article in the most recent RJJ journal about making whiskey, about making Kiddush on schnapps on Shabbos morning, which many poskim are not in favor of. In other words, the device of using whiskey or schnapps or whatever it is to make Kiddush was in a time where wine, kosher wine, was expensive and rare. That is no longer the case. Kosher wine is actually more affordable than whiskey in our day. And according to most opinions, l'chatchila, one should use wine wherever available. However, there's a long-standing minhag to make kiddush during the day on schnapps. And one can rely, if that's particularly if there's a family minhag, to make kiddush on schnapps on Shabbos morning. Even though many poskim disagree with it. However, with almost no possibility to rely on another position, when you make kiddush on schnapps, you have to make kiddush. You can't make kiddush on a shot glass. You have to make kiddush on whatever the shiur of Rabbi Avias. Doesn't have to be 4.5 ounces for kiddush in the morning. It can be 3 ounces, 3.1 ounces, 3.3 ounces. I think is Rav Moshe. This is 2 ounces.
I can take the box.
This is not 3 ounces.
Some sort of Hasidic shvara that actually show that it's better to make kiddush on whiskey or schnapps.
Yes, so there were all types of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings that you can make kiddush. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings that you can make kiddush on Shabbos morning on schnapps, but there is almost no opinion to rely on that allows you to make kiddush on less than a revius.
Almost.
In other words, somebody who does it, there's a rejected minority opinion that should not be relied on the halacha. So you want to make kiddush on schnapps in the morning, you should make it on. Now I think. Now again, my position was you want every kol ish oseh asher yashav benav kol ish moshel betoch beito. You want to do everybody else. But in the shul, when there's a kiddush in shul, a shul should always ascribe to a higher position. One person's making kiddush for everybody else. You should make kiddush on wine from a kimvan from a revius in a proper kiddush cup, because why should somebody who doesn't want to make kiddush on schnapps is not being machmir? He's following the din. Somebody who wants to make a kiddush on schnapps is relying on certain leniencies and being mitzdarif to that, certain family minuk. Right, so you can't impose your leniency on the tzibur, right? You have to do something which is going to be shavu lechol.
Can make its own body prayer. Though. Oh, I see what you're saying.
As you go to shul, generally one person makes kiddush and is motzi everybody else.
Takes a piece of
right?
Schnapps,
right? You want to also have schnapps, vakasha. right? But
more than a risk, and always every time.
It's true. I mean, Riskin has always had vodka.
He always explains it.
But
every time, even if it's like.
But when he makes Kiddush on vodka, he makes it from Revius. And the other thing in that article addresses something which is well documented, that one should not make Kiddush on, you shouldn't use a plastic cup. You should use a proper Kiddush cup, a proper, whether it's glass or metal or whatever. You should probably use a proper cup, not a disposable glass.
In general, you shouldn't drink whiskey from a disposable plastic cup.
It affects the taste.
I keep a bottle of vodka in my house just in case he happens to stop by Kiddush. It's done twice.
All right.
That's why I keep vodka in my freezer.
You never know where Rabbi Riskin's going to drop by for a glass of vodka. It's going to sound bad. So Omer Rabbi Yochanan, when you do these kinds of Shabbos dikafar nadarim by saying, bottoms up, honey, tzarich shivatel belibo. Nevertheless, in your heart, meaning in your mind, you should make a proper Hatarat nedarim, hafarat nedarim. You should say mufalach, 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 or neder ishti.
If you didn't,
what do you mean? If you didn't, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now I have to figure out what does it mean that you can be mefer neder belibo?
No, clearly you need to say something.
Right.
What he said. But if you just said that and didn't think about it as if did that count?
Meaning, can you only be mefer belibo?
No, lefer. No. What if you just said to her, I'm not going to have it. You drink. And then you didn't think of it at Hatarat Nedarim. The day goes past, you're like, oh my gosh, like she actually made a neder, and I didn't actually have a really thought through this about the neder. But I did tell her to drink. Could you, after the fact, say, the day, the 24 hour, the sun says gum, can you say, oh, it's done because at least I told her to drink?
According to Rabbi Yochanan, it wouldn't be mefer.
For me, this is more.
It wouldn't be mufer. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, at least that's what it seems like. So Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzarich shivatel belibo, v'tanya Beit Shammai Omrim, b'Shabbat mevatel belibo, b'chol motzi b'sfatav, on Shabbos, you can be mevata belibo, because it's not Shabbos-tik to say these words for whatever reason, but during the week you have to actually verbalize the words. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Beit Hillel Omrim, Echadze Vechadze Mivatel Belibo. But Beit Hillel says, both on Shabbos or on the week, you can be Mivatel, you can be Mefer Neder mentally. Now that's rather strange.
Without expressing anything.
Apparently without expressing anything verbally. How could that be? What does it mean to be Mefer Belev? Without being, a minute ago we said, if he says, if she, I don't want it. Which is a clear indicator that he is wants to be made for this neder, lo amar klum. But if he's lo amar klum, and just thinks it in his heart, mufalach, mufalach, mufalachim, 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 it is amar, mashu. This is strange. And we'll leave you hanging. So the thrilling conclusion next week.
My wife makes an edel, and I'm only making an edel in my heart, and how does anybody know? It's like a tree falling apart.
There are two of those cookies enough for our mechia.